Hello and welcome to Real Living. We're going to continue speaking a little bit about the mission trip that I was fortunate enough to go on. It already seems like years ago, but it really does. It was.
And this is February and you were there in January.
Right, so it wasn't that long ago. But it was really amazing. We started to tell you a little bit about it at our last show. Just giving you a little bit of background, I was fortunate enough to be able to be on a mission trip sponsored by Renewal Ministries in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And those of you who listen to this program know that that's kind of, in a way, our spiritual home. And a lot of our friends are there and our board members are there, and et cetera. Debbie Herbeck and I go back way back to college. Well, we were friends in college and we belonged to the same religious organization and community in college. And so she has had this amazing ministry to all kinds of young people, starting from middle school all the way up through young adults their age 30. You know, it's just kind of been her niche. And she was instrumental in starting this young adult ministry called ID916. The initials stand for Intentional Disciple, and the 916 is from 1 Corinthians 9:16, where Paul says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." So that's kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of what they're about. You know, young missionary disciples. So exciting. You know, just kind of, it's the idea is to catch the young adults right after college, through grad school, through the first choices and the first selections in life, in adult life, vocations, state in life, work choices, career, et cetera.
What a great environment to be in where people are so enthusiastic about their faith and that they're not, you know, holding back at all. They're going to places that they, you know, don't know anything about.
That's right.
And it's kind of like going out on the street corner and starting to preach the gospel.
Right.
You know, what a wonderful thing for them to experience, and for you as an adult to see these kids.
Oh, absolutely.
This.
And if you want to know more about it, you can go on Facebook. I think it's ID916 altogether. Just go look at their Facebook page. They have Disciples Nights with speakers, which are still, I think, in the archives on Facebook, so which means you can just push and watch the video on Facebook. So it's actually kind of cool. Anyway, I was fortunate enough to go on this mission trip, and we went to Mexico City, and specifically we went to the basurero, to the garbage dump in the city of Mexico City. Now, Mexico City has over 27 million people who live there, and the garbage dump takes several hundreds of acres over. And there's around 70,000 people living in the garbage dump. And so the first few days of the mission were devoted to kind of ministering to the people in the dump. We had a medical clinic. We gave them medical help and, you know, distributed medicines and did some preliminary diagnosis. And that, I was mostly in there because I was translating for the doctor who accompanied us, and there were several nurses. So that was kind of cool, just to kind of be able to interact with people where they were coming in, and lots of children, lots of families, lots of older people, because let's face it, their job, quote unquote, is to paw through the garbage and find stuff that they can sell, pile it on these carts, and make their way to the place where they can sell the stuff. So
it's just unimaginable to think really that people can survive like that.
Unfathomable in a certain way. In fact, many of the stuff that we saw in the medical clinic were people with puncture wounds in their hands and in their feet, where they had been handing through the garbage, and they would get wounded and pricked by open syringes that people would just throw away without disposing of the needle. We had a lot of people just coming in saying, "Oh no, I got stuck here in my hand, and I got stuck here in my foot because I was walking and I got stuck by a syringe." One guy, poor guy, he was going up, literally, there are mountains of garbage, like hills of garbage. Imagine that. And he was going up this hill, and a syringe detached from the garbage and hit him in the neck. I mean, it's like you wouldn't, you know, you can't even make this stuff up, really.
And this is not that far from the U.S. when you think about it,
right,
where Mexico City is. This
right.
is just unbelievable that people have to live
right.
like that.
Absolutely. I mean, just chilling.
We need to
ways.
Count our blessings.
Well, you know, and plus not only the physical component, because, you know, there's the abject poverty, there's the illness, there's maybe societal disruption, but we also kind of, I could sense, and the doctor who was with me and several of the other team members could sense spiritual overtones as well. You know, despair,
oh, sure.
Hopelessness, maybe even a little touch of demonic oppression here and there. You know, there was mm-hmm. one guy who came in and we both looked at each other and said, this guy needs to go see Father. You know, needs to get prayed over, you know, that kind of thing. But I'd like to think that we kind of took care of maybe a little corner of their lives, you know, made it better, you know, maybe
absolutely.
Not their whole lives, but maybe a little bit better. We distributed over 3 tons of food and supplies to over 600 to 800 people, apparently, the last day. So that was just amazing. But what I wanted to share with you all was part of what we did in the dump was we would see people in the medical clinic, but then also a priest who accompanied us, Father Matthias Thielen from Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, accompanied us and was our chaplain and said Mass in the dump every day, even though he doesn't speak Spanish. So he was totally game.
Oh, wow.
Just, you know, transliterating, you
sure.
know, from just reading it. And that alone was just amazing to see how many people. One lady came up to me and said, can I go get a blessing? No, I was trying to get people, because a lot of people didn't feel like they could take communion, but we were encouraging them to go up in the line and with their arms crossed to receive a blessing.
Right.
And one lady, so I was trying to kind of corral everybody because everybody was shy. And this one lady says to me, oh, I am not worthy. I'm not worthy to go up for a blessing. And I'm like, you get up there for a blessing right now.
You know, I was like, I know you. I can see you, pulling her along.
We'll talk about that later. You just go right now, you know. So to kind of give an idea also of the spiritual implications for people who were living there. So several times, you know, there'd be the intake white piece of paper, the sheet, where they would, the intake crew would take the names, take the ages, take, of course, the sex, a little bit of medical history, like if they knew they had diabetes or high blood pressure, it would be noted. And then they would take they had kits where they could take their blood sugar and they could measure their blood pressure and their heart rate. So at least when we got them at the medical table, we kind of knew what we were dealing with. This
sure.
person has high blood sugar, this person has high blood pressure, et cetera. And so in a couple of cases, we were able to really sort of, you know, provide the basic medications. I mean, basic antibiotics, basic cortisone, basic acetaminophen, basic NSAIDs, you know, ibuprofen, et cetera. A lot of parasite medicine, a lot of, you know,
you can imagine
sure. right? Several antifungal. I mean, just a wide spectrum of a lot of remedies, medical stuff. Plus, everybody got a multivitamin. Everybody.
Oh, that's nice.
So along with everybody's medicines, everybody got a like 30 days supply of a multivitamin.
So I know you mentioned the last time you talked about this that you had to go and purchase things. Did you have to purchase all the medicines too while
yeah.
you were down there?
Well, no, not where we were down there. We still had supplies. And apparently the people who collaborate with us from the various parishes there in Mexico City go ahead and order the medicines because they're hard to import.
I would imagine.
But every day we went after the dump, we went to Walmart to buy more ibuprofen, more acetaminophen, more, you know, more the things that we could get. And the doctor was with us so we could get more antibiotics, you know, that kind of stuff.
So one other question. The number of people that would be in line to come, do you limit it to a certain amount
yeah.
each day?
Because we only had a certain amount of time. So we had people
okay.
in the dump who were used to doing this because this is a yearly trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there were people on the trip who'd already been 6 or 7 times, which I thought was kind of cool. And I also like the fact that Renewal Ministry sponsors a high school trip that's going out in April to do
oh,
the same
wow.
thing. You know, high school students with chaperones. And then they sponsor 2 or 3 other trips during the year, just people who want to sign up and go and do the same thing. So Renew Ministries really has been a presence there in the dump in many different ways.
But it's one time a year that they go, and it's always in January?
Well, the ID 916 Young Adult Trip is only once a year in January, but Renewal Ministry sponsors at least 3 or 4 other trips.
So there are other opportunities for
yes.
people if you're interested.
Well, there's the high school trip, for
mm-hmm.
instance, is coming
mm-hmm.
up in April.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's many, and I think there's other trips going as well. So I guess what I'm saying is we saw a lot of people who said, the medicine you gave me last time is finished. Can I have some more? You
sure.
know, my diabetes medication mm-hmm. or my mm-hmm. high blood pressure medication. So there was a relationship with these people, and we had people who would have people get in line, you know, in a way take a number, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that people
mm-hmm.
would come in an orderly fashion. And then on the other end, we had to usher them out of the tent because there was no room for everybody to just hang around. And then they would be called by name to receive their medication and their instructions from the nurses.
Interesting.
So I thought that, you know, that was, they had a good system going. You could tell they've been doing it for a while, you know.
Were you the only interpreter there?
There was another girl as well who spoke pretty good Spanish.
Okay.
So we alternated.
Okay.
And so that was just amazing, because just the opportunity to be able to be there and interface with these people at the moment of their most, you know, of their need. You know, I have a fever. My baby has a fever. What's wrong with my child? What's wrong with my parent? You know, that kind of thing. So we were able to do that. Each person had a sheet, as I was saying. And so there would be their name and their age and the diagnosis and then the medicines that were prescribed. And then in the corner, the doctor would say, this one needs to go see Father. You know, this one needs to go see the prayer team or whatever. Not everybody, but a few. And so and I'll tell you more about the break, but I'm just going to set this up now. We had several people, including one lady who came in with, she must have been in her mid-40s, and she had just this really pained look in her face. And she said, I have this really hard bubble right here up high in my stomach. And I was like, well, and Father, meanwhile, was out taking pictures of the children, you know, because mm-hmm. he was missing everything because we were in the medical tent, right?
Right.
So he's there like, oh, they're doing the pinata. I want to go take a picture. So he was out taking a picture. So this lady shows up, and I'm like, where's the doctor? So, well, she says, I have this hard bubble right here, right under my diaphragm. So I put a hand on her stomach, and I was feeling it. I could feel this hard little bump, you know, a little bubble that was right below her diaphragm. And, you know, I've had some nursing training, and I'm like, this feels and looks like a hiatal hernia, which, you know, when a little bit of gut that pooches out up high, right? So when it's high, it's hiatal. When it's low, it's inguinal, right? So, I
right.
mean, it's basic stuff. So when the doctor came back, he confirmed that diagnosis, which was nice. And I'll tell you more on the other side. Hi, and welcome back to Real Living. We were in the middle of telling you a little bit about the mission trip to the Mexico City garbage dump that I was fortunate enough to be able to attend in January. We saw one lady who came in and had sort of a hard bubble coming out of her stomach, and I thought it was a hiatal hernia, and that's what it ended up being, you know, just a hernia. Nothing too life-threatening, but something that really needed to be corrected surgically. The doctor said to her, you have a hiatal hernia. How long have you had it? 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
And he said, well, you need surgery. You know, says, I can't give you something for this. You need surgery. You know, he gave everybody a little bit of pain reliever and a little bit of vitamins and, you know, just pick-me-ups.
Sure.
But in this case,
there wasn't anything he could do.
There wasn't much he could do. And she just, you know, you could tell she was like, I live in the garbage dump. Where am I going to get surgery? That kind of thing. You know, she was mm-hmm. kind of hopeless and helpless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he wrote on the edge of her sheet for her to go to the prayer team. Now, the prayer team, lest you think it's something professional or something that's, you know, it was just a group of young adults with Father Matthias, but sometimes even without Father Matthias, just whoever was available to pray, mm-hmm. two or three people, no more than that, who would just lay hands very gently on each person for them to receive God's blessing, for them to receive whatever God had for them, asking specifically, obviously, in the case of the medical cases, for spiritual healing, but in many cases for psychological healing, for spiritual healing, for God, just a richness of God's blessing to be bestowed. We prayed over several families as well. You know, the mother, the father, and the children,
sure.
just for blessing. So, you know, that was just part
That's
of what we were doing.
That's encouraging that they were open to do that.
Absolutely. So this lady goes to the prayer team, and she comes back 20 minutes later with a stunned look on her face and comes to me and says, no hay más. No está más.
It's gone.
I'm like, what's no está más? What are you talking about? My bump. And I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean your bump is gone? Me, you know, mm-hmm. person of faith, right? And I put my hand and I started like feeling, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what if it popped out over on the side? So I'm like I'm like feeling all over her back and her front and all that. And the doctor feels it and he says, you know what? Your hiatal hernia is gone, is completely gone. And so,
hallelujah.
And so, you know, he said, tell her it's not there anymore. So I said, no está más. And she's like, no kidding. I knew that, you know. And so that was just the plain, ordinary goodness of God. There was no fanfare. There were no people in white suits pushing people over with microphones in big arenas. It was just God's mercy for this one person. And like that kind of healing, we had several other kind of healings. Let me tell you another one. Father Matthias had told the doctor, hey, I feel like the Lord wants to heal somebody who's going to come through the medical clinic and they're going to have mouth sores. So for 3 days, we were looking at everybody's mouth. Like, are you the one? No. Are you the one? No. Are you the one? No. We had a couple of potential candidates, but they didn't really qualify. So finally, the last day, the second to last patient is this old guy, and he comes in. And he opens his mouth, and we're like, okay,
I here
think
he is.
This might be our guy. Very unattractive looking mouth. And so there wasn't much we could do again. You know, he had other problems that we tried to address. But we sent him to Father. I'll be darned if he doesn't come back after 20 minutes. And he opens his mouth, and it's completely gone. Completely clean.
Isn't that, I mean,
completely clean. This is stuff I saw with my own eyes, you know, and it was like, okay, well, why should we be surprised?
I mean,
you know, that's what the Lord has told us to do. We just need to be obedient.
Exactly.
But let me stress the fact that it wasn't anybody's particular virtue or merit. It was a bunch of young people. I was part of the prayer team at certain point. We all took turns, you know. It wasn't like any specific person. It was just being faithful and obedient enough to lay hands for literally no more than 3 minutes. It's not like there were these long, prolonged, you know, there were lines for the prayer
ministry. I'm sure they couldn't spend too much time.
Just like there were lines for the medicine, you know?
Sure.
So there wasn't much time, but it was just a matter of just stepping out in faith and saying, hey, Lord, bless this person, heal him or her if it's your will. And it was his will. And this guy could not believe it. The old guy, I mean, the looks on the faces of the people were healed.
Oh, I can imagine.
You know? And one last story. In the first day, an old, really old guy. And when I talk about old guys, in the dump, everybody looks older than what they really are, right?
I'm sure.
So this guy looked like, swear to God, looked like he was Methuselah. I mean, he was like really old, could barely walk. He was accompanied by two people. He couldn't even stand up. He had to sit down. He had very, you know, his legs weren't holding him. He had a crutch or a walking stick. But, you know, I looked on his chart and he was like, you know, 78 or something like that. I mean, he looked like he was 98, seriously. So he gave us the whole story. I abused alcohol all my life. I have all these other medical problems. My legs aren't holding me up anymore. I've been a bad boy. You know, I've done all this stuff. You know, you could tell he was kind of repentant and remorseful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know what he expected us to do for him. I think he may have also had diabetes or something like that. But anyway, so again, okay, note on the side of the paper, send him to Father, send him to the prayer team. So the prayer team prays with him, and Father feels like the Lord is healing his legs. So he says to the guy, stand up. And this is through a translator.
Wow.
Right? And the guy stands up and starts hopping around and waving his stick in the air. Like,
oh,
this was the guy that we saw in the clinic who couldn't walk.
Yeah, just a few minutes ago,
you know? So, again, you all, I would caution you all, whether these are permanent or not, you know, or whether they're the ones that, quote, stick or not. I mean, in a way, that doesn't really matter. These were signs and wonders to indicate and to highlight the message that we were bringing into the dump, which is that God loves you. There is a God. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. He died for you. His church is there for you. We're there for you. Very simple message.
Well, it shows, you know, young people stepping out in faith. Mm-hmm. And I know Father is a very faithful priest.
Mm-hmm.
To allow God to use him in whatever way he desires.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know from one person to the next whether there's going to be a healing.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what's the best type of healing. Mm-hmm. It could be that no physical healing, but there may have been a spiritual healing for a lot of people that, you know, you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God always gives us what we need, not what we want.
Yeah.
And those are perfect examples of that.
They're perfect examples of that. And let me give you another example of something where the healing did not occur, where I felt the Lord really was moving powerfully, though, nonetheless. At the last day, as we're clearing out, I mean, the tent is already folded, everything's on the bus, and we're still praying with people to the last, very, very last second. And a lady shows up, young lady. I mean, everybody looks young to me right now, but I would say probably no more than 30, 35, and she had her daughter with her. And this lady had one eye that was bulging out significantly. Like one eye was looks like it was about to come out, literally.
Wow.
And I remember looking at her saying, I've been, you know, quote, diagnosing people for 3 days, not me, but I'd be like saying, I said, it looks like there's a tumor, you know, behind that eye that would be pushing it out, you know? So sure enough, there was a tumor that had been operated twice and had come back on her. And so we prayed with her, you know, and her daughter was like laughing at her. You know, it was one of those deals where she wasn't sure and the daughter was kind of laughing at her. Oh, look, they're praying for you. Oh, you know, that kind of thing. But I felt like the Lord was really moving powerfully in this person's life, that there was something going on. There was some healing going on, whether it was the tumor or whatever. And I'd be interested to see what the next team finds if she's still there when they go back.
I'm sure that a number of them will come back each time and bring other people that may need some medical assistance or prayers or anything. I'm sure it spreads, you know, word of fire around the dump that these people are coming back.
But what I'm saying is maybe the people that we prayed for or that were prayed for and maybe didn't manifest anything right then, who then the Lord dealt with over time.
Sure.
Because sometimes healings will happen that way as well. They'll happen over time. There's no set way that God is going to heal somebody.
Well, whenever you pray for someone, God's going to work in some way according to His will. I mean, that's we have to stand on that. Otherwise, we're wasting our time.
That's right.
Otherwise, we'd be standing there each time thinking, well, God didn't heal this person. You know, what's the matter with God or what's the matter with me that He's not using me in this way? You can't be like that. You just have to have deep faith that those prayers are always going to be answered.
Well, and I think there, you pointed out a good point. The point is this. When we pray over people, whether it's our children because they have a headache, whether it's our spouse because they're, you know, whatever, it's not about us. It really is not about us. And it's so hard to get over ourselves. Who am I to be praying for healing? Well, I'm not worthy. I'm like, yeah, you know, newsflash. None of us is worthy. We're not doing it because we're worthy. We're doing it because we're God's children, and He has asked us to have expectant faith. Mm-hmm. And I say that's the key, I think, for the prayer for anything, whether it's physical healing, whether it's moral, psychological, spiritual healing, whether it's blessing, whether it's changing people's minds, whether it's, you know, changing attitudes, changing situations, whatever. God works in so many ways that we can't put a box on Him. Just because we don't feel or see, sometimes you'll feel the tingling of your hands. I will too. I'll feel a heat in my hands.
Sure.
And I know that God is working. He may not be working in a way that I can see or that they can see, but God is always working. The prayers never come back empty. That's the main thing.
Right. And you know, you have to realize that it's not up to us at all. Thank goodness we don't have that burden.
Right.
All we have to do is say, Lord, it's up to you.
Amen.
And you have to step out in faith. And, you know, they always say when you start your prayer, praise first. If you praise, you're opening up yourself to God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go down that laundry list. Praise Him first. Mm-hmm. Put your trust
Repent.
In Him and let Him work within you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, just a few stories from the dump to inspire you. To give you hope out there, if you're listening, to tell you that you too, by virtue of your baptism and confirmation, have been completely equipped by the Lord to pray for your loved ones. You know, like I said, it doesn't have to be this big sensational thing, but you do have standing to pray for those around
Absolutely.
You. God is good, and He wants to heal, and He wants to answer prayer. And like you said before, often He gives us what we need, not what we want, but, you know, hey. That's His will, and His will is perfect.
And He's bringing us home through
Amen.
His will.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us.